here, our plan is to watch episode one, season one of The Chosen. That will be our discussion topic on Wednesday night when we have soup supper at 6:15 and worship at 7 o'clock over at St. Luke's Episcopal Church. So during the weeks of Lent, we will gather together five times. So first at the Episcopal Church, the second week at Union Congregational. This church will take on the next two Wednesdays, followed by the Episcopal Church at the end. So we encourage you to sign up so that you make sure that we have plenty to eat during these occasions. The host church is responsible for soup. The other two churches are assigned either bread, rolls, or dessert. So we would appreciate your signing up and just showing up. Also on Wednesday at 5 o'clock, we are starting, you'll see it's called the Junior Bell Choir Practice. So our kids are invited to join along with our adults in bell choir. They're going to learn one piece, and then they will be playing that for us in April. So I think it's a great opportunity to allow our youth to get to know the bells a little bit, to get them involved in music, and to become that much more a part of our church. So that's at 5 o'clock. At 5:45, youth group and confirmation. And then, as I say, 6:15 is soup supper and worship over at St. Luke's Episcopal. For the one confirmand I see here, it belongs to me. I'm going to try to rush through confirmation. Don't worry, we'll have confirmation, all right. But I want to try to leave so that I can at least make it over to worship at the Episcopal Church and support them there. I hope the rest of you can also support this endeavor. I think it's been a lot of fun the last couple of years for the three churches to get together. So invite your friends and family just to come and have fellowship, soup, and worship with us on Wednesdays. And it shows here Thursday bell choir practice, but I don't know that that's true. Is it, Michelle? Do you have any idea? Okay, I think that they're just doing the Wednesdays, but I'll double check so that we have that accurate for next time. And Michelle, I believe that you had an announcement for us.
I just wanted to let you know I stopped off at Buffalo Gardens to get some flowers and when I mentioned they were for the church, Sally that works there, you guys might know her, she's Anita Schumann's sister, and she's really nice. Well, she donated the other half, so the flowers are half donated by Buffalo Gardens. I just wanted to share that with you. Real quick, one more thing, just so you know, my surgery was delayed or postponed for 3 weeks. Now it's March 12th. Yay.
So we'll continue to pray for you, Michelle. I know that that's not what we were hoping for. This surgery just needs to get done. And I'm going to caution you. Stop lifting things. Stop coming over here to try to do things. I don't want anything to happen to you that will delay the surgery even beyond the date that you have now. All right, the surgery has been delayed several times, so let's just hold Michelle in prayer that this surgery gets done and eases the pain and other problems that she's having. Any other announcements? Lois?
I just want to remind people that the fundraiser we're having tonight, we're trying to raise money to pay for the thermostats at church that are already paid for, and also to replace the water heater that we hope doesn't go out when nobody's here. And so, actually, it's a fundraiser, and it's initiated by a Thriveman Action Team, and they've already put $250 into it. So if you're unable to come tonight and still want to donate, you're welcome to do that.
Is there a way for people to participate in the silent auction too, Jean, if they can't be here tonight? Well, I guess so. You can go downstairs, write your name. How many baskets do we have for the silent auction? So four baskets. So you can write your name down and make a generous contribution toward this fundraiser.
Four bags of 10 pounds of potatoes and a can
of meat. Okay. Sounds good. All right, if there are no other announcements.
I know I'm not really there yet this morning, but
okay.
The thing that we have it in at their church, the weekly thing, is it at the Episcopal Church this week?
This week, the Episcopal Church. The next week, Union Congregational. Then this church for the first 2 weeks of March, and then back over to the Episcopal Church.
Thank
yes.
you.
Yeah, so I'm hoping everyone remembers to go to the right St. Luke's this week.
Yeah, that was.
That's why I'm encouraging you to bring home the one sheet that has the announcements on it so you remember where you're supposed to be and when. Okay? Any other announcements or questions? If not, please stand as you're able for the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who writes the law on our hearts, who draws all people together through Jesus, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Held in God's mercy, let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Holy God, we confess that we are caught in the snares of sin and cannot break free. We hoard resources while our neighbors are hungry and cold. We speak in ways that silence others and are silent when we should speak up. We keep score in our hearts and let hurts grow into hatred. For all the ways we have not loved you with our whole hearts and have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. For all our sins, those we name aloud and those only you know, forgive us, Lord. Amen. Hear of the abundant outpouring of God's grace. Out of love for the whole world, God draws near to us, breaks every snare of sin, washes away our wrongs, and restores the promise of life through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, number 319, O Lord, throughout these 40 days. of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, Heavenly Father, in the waters of the flood, you saved the chosen, and in the wilderness of temptation, you protected your Son from sin. Renew us in the gift of baptism. May your holy angels be with us, that the wicked foe may have no power over us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from Genesis 9, verses 8 through 17. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is a sign of the covenant that I will make between you and me and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on earth." God said to Noah, "This is a sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 25 responsibly. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me.
Let none who look to you be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous.
Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long.
Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting.
Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love, and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
You are gracious and upright, O Lord. Therefore you teach sinners in your way.
You lead the lowly in justice, and teach the lowly your way.
All your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep your covenant and your testimonies.
The second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 3. Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with the angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn open and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. You may be seated. Do I have any kids who want to come forward?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. All right. We heard in our first reading a little bit of a story that's somewhat familiar, right? Noah and the Ark. Okay. You've heard that story before, right? What do you remember about it? I had to build an ark for any animals, and then I was flesh. All right. So hold that one in your mind. Let me ask another question. Have your parents ever told you that if you do something for them, you'll get a reward?
No.
Okay. I'm hearing a little bit of disagreement over there. Have you ever told him, let's say, if you go out and shovel the walkway, I'll give you $1. That sound familiar at all?
He's never followed through, but...
That's going to be the next question. All right. That's the next question. So, all right. Hypothetical question here. If your parents were to say, if you go out and shovel the walk, I'll give you $1. Hold that one in your mind. What would happen if you went outside and shoveled the walk? You expect them to give you $1, right? Now, what happens if they tell you, if you go outside and shovel the walk, I'll give you $1, and you don't do it? You get the $1? Why not? Exactly. All right. Very good. Have any of you had those sorts of experiences? When someone says, if you do something, I'll give you something in return.
That's called going to work.
It's called going to work for some of us, yes. If you do your job, you get a paycheck, right? If you do the job, you get the paycheck. If you don't do the job, what happens then?
You can lose
your job. Exactly. You can lose your job. What happens if you decide to buy a car and it's going to take you 5 years to pay off this car and you pay on the car for a year and then you stop paying? You get to keep the car? Why not? Because you haven't paid the whole bill. All right, very good. What we are really dealing with here in these stories is the idea of whether we are contract people or whether we are covenant people when it comes to our relationship. when we have a contract, it is, if you do this, then you get this, right? And I'm going to tell about covenants and stuff and how they're different. Now, if God told us to keep all these commandments and then you get the reward of heaven, what happens when you don't keep those commandments? Why would we still go to heaven? Because God forgives us. How is that different from the idea of if you shovel the walk, you get a dollar? And you don't shovel the walk, and you don't get the dollar. How is it different? Anyway, how is it different?
God's not giving you that dollar.
Because it's not a contract.
Because it's, we don't have, exactly, because we don't have a contract. We have a covenant. So, we have a whole situation with Noah and the ark. God had created this beautiful world, and he put people in it who were not robots. He gave them the opportunity to do what he asked them to do or not. And what do they choose to do? Not be very obedient. And so what happened with Noah and the ark? Yeah, and what happened to the rest of the animals? They died. I know, it doesn't sound too good, does it? I know, the animals, they died. Yes, and the people, and they died too. And God decided to start over again. That's what we're dealing with in these stories today. So let's stop right there, because I'll let you go back to your parents and your sister. But let's pray. Oh, merciful God, we thank you that we do not have a contract with you, because we don't seem to be able to live up to your expectations of us and the promises that we make to you. Lord, we now enter the season of Lent. We ask that you create in us clean hearts, create in us new hearts. Let's start over again from this day. Help us from this day forward to follow you. We ask all things in your precious and holy name. Amen. Thank you.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I know, how many of you would have wanted to come forward when I asked questions like that?
I think Kelly did a good job.
In our first reading, we're just in chapter 9 of Genesis, and things have already gone horribly wrong with the world. That God created a world and called everything that God created good. And then, almost immediately, we have sin entering the world. And then sin continues to permeate people's hearts. And sin just continues and continues and continues until God looks at all that God has created. And this is when I'm glad I'm not God, because I would have just said, this was an interesting experiment. These human beings, though, I don't think I can deal with them anymore. And that would have been the end. But what we're told in Genesis is that God saw the wickedness of the world and strongly considered just wiping everything out. But he found Noah and Noah's family. And Noah and his family found favor with God. And so God decided to start over again with Noah and his family. And in our reading of today, the very end of that portion of Noah's story, you hear God saying to Noah and to his family that God was establishing a covenant with them and with their descendants and with every living creature, all the birds, the domestic animals, every animal of the earth. So God's covenant is not just with human beings, it's with all of creation. And God says, I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God says, I'll make a sign as an acknowledgement of this covenant. I'll put my rainbow in the sky, and when I see it, and when you see it, we remember the covenant. And what does God ask Noah to do in return? Absolutely nothing. There's nothing in here that says Noah's supposed to do anything. There's an expectation on the part of God that Noah is going to do something, that Noah is going to follow God and be a righteous individual, and that from him and his family, the earth will be repopulated. From the animals that come off the ark, the world will be repopulated, and creation starts again. And then what happens almost immediately? We're told Noah plants a vineyard and gets drunk. And ends up naked out in the field, and his sons have to cover him, and it's starting all over again. You would think that after seeing all that God has done, saving him and his family from the ravages of the flood, that Noah would do better. And he doesn't. And if this had been a contract, you would have had both parties making agreements. God would have said, I am not going to destroy the earth by water so long as you hold to what I teach you to do. And then as soon as Noah sins, God can then inflict the wrath of another flood, wipe everything out, and start again. But this isn't a contract. This is a covenant. A covenant where everything is really on God. Everything is on God. Noah's not asked to do anything, which is just as well, because like all humans, he's going to mess it up. Now, what's the difference between a contract and a covenant? So we say a contract is generally between two people or two entities. It's a legally binding agreement. And when one person fulfills that person's part of the bargain, the other person needs to fulfill that person's part of the bargain. If this person fails to perform, then this person no longer needs to perform. The contract is broken. In a covenant, you have a relationship. So that even when one person does not perform as expected, the other person is still expected to perform. It isn't immediately broken. Can you think of a relationship that's like that, that's a covenant relationship?
Marriage.
Marriage, exactly. Marriage is a covenant, not a contract. Remember those wedding vows? I promise to love, honor, and cherish, things like that. Well, what happens the first time that you don't honor your spouse? The first time you say something disrespectful to that person or about that person? If it were a contract, it's all over. You didn't keep your part of the bargain. Our marriage is done. And that's not how it works, is it? And sometimes that's the thing. It continues over and over and over again to a point where something has to occur that says this relationship is over. Where you end up going to a court in having a judge tell you that your marriage is dissolved. But until that time, that relationship exists. And this is what we have with God, a covenantal relationship. And during the course of Lent, we're going to be talking about the covenants that God has made throughout the course of time. So starting with this first covenant with Noah and Noah's family, that the world would not again be destroyed by flood. What's important is not so much the world being destroyed by flood or how many animals were on the ark. The real issue here is the faithfulness of God. Does God keep God's promises? And the answer is yes. God keeps God's promises. And even when human beings are unable to fulfill what is expected of them, God continues to keep God's promises. And God continues to engage in covenantal behavior with God's own people. And we'll talk about what happens with Jesus, the new covenant. We hear those words as we prepare for communion. We hear about the new covenant that Jesus makes. Because Jesus is the one who can keep those promises. A human being cannot, but Jesus can. In our psalm, we heard a cry for help. When I was listening to one commentator, that person said, Jesus would have known this psalm. And perhaps during that time, as he's out there in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, he calls upon God using the words of this psalm. And perhaps he did. When we call out to God in prayer, we're relying upon the covenantal relationship that we have with God. We're not asking God to perform as he would if we had a contract. We're asking him to acknowledge the relationship that he has with us. That covenantal relationship that God has with God's people. And to remember us, to teach us, to hold us in God's grace and mercy. During Lent, we're often challenged to give something up. I challenge you, instead of giving something up, to add something. During this time of Lent, add an acknowledgement of that covenantal relationship between God and God's people. Read your Bible. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in the wonders of creation. Just see how much God has blessed humans. How much God has blessed each one of us. And just spend some time pondering the faithfulness of our God as we walk during this Lenten season, toward the cross, the greatest sign of love. For the next several weeks, we are going to be singing the same hymn as Hymn of the Day, in the hope that perhaps we'll get to know it. You'll find it at the very back of your bulletin. And it doesn't come from our hymnal, it actually comes from a UCC hymnal. And I want to read over the words of this and give a little explanation of why I chose this as a hymn of the day for the season of Lent. So verse 1, God of our life, through all the circling years, we trust in you. In all the past, Through all our hopes and fears, your care shines through. With each new day, when morning lifts the veil, we own your mercies, God, which never fail. God of the past, our times are in your hand, with us abide. Lead us by faith to hope's true promised land, be now our guide. Bless us in times of darkness and of light, then face fair vision changes into sight. So in those first two verses, we acknowledge what God has done in the past and how God is meeting us today. In the last verse, God of the coming years, through paths unknown we follow you. When we are strong, O, leave us not alone, our refuge true. Be now for us in life our daily bread, our heart's true home, where all our years are spent. So the acknowledgement of God's great mercy toward us, that God has been faithful in the past, merciful in the past, and God will continue to be faithful and merciful and gracious. And so I chose this hymn in the hope that as we sing it week after week, its words and its truth will sink deep into our hearts. And before we sing it, let us pray. O God of our life, we thank you for the covenantal relationship that we have with you. We acknowledge that you fulfill every part of what you promised. And we make promises to you that we find difficult sometimes to fulfill. O God of our life, be with us in the days ahead. Help us to follow you, to be faithful to you. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So let us join together in singing God of Our Life. And I know you don't know it, and by the time we get through it for a few weeks, I think we'll all come to know it.
Thank you.
invite forward all the members of the church council.
And the rest of you may be seated. So these individuals who've come forward have been elected by this congregation to positions of leadership. We give thanks for their willingness to serve. In baptism, we are welcomed into the body of Christ and sent to share in the mission of God. We rejoice now that these sisters and brothers will lead us in our common life and our mutual mission as a congregation. A reading from 1 Corinthians. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You have been elected to positions of leadership and trust in this congregation. You are to see that the words and deeds of this household of faith bear witness to God, who gathers us into one together with the whole church. You are to seek to involve all members of this congregation in worship, learning, witness, service, and support, so that the mission of Christ is carried out in this congregation, in the wider church, in this community, and in the whole world. You are to be faithful in your specific area of serving, that the Spirit who empowers you may be glorified. You are to be examples of faith active in love, fostering peace, harmony, and mutual understanding in this congregation. So, on behalf of all your brothers and sisters in Christ, I ask you, will you accept and faithfully carry out the duties of the office to which you have been elected? If so, please respond, I will, and I ask God to help me.
I will, and I ask God to help me.
And I ask that you turn and face the congregation. People of God, I ask you, will you support these, your elected leaders, and will you share in the mutual ministry that Christ has given to all who are baptized? If so, please respond, we will, and we ask God to help us.
We will, and we ask God to help us.
I now declare that you are installed as council members of this congregation. Almighty God, bless you and direct your days and your deeds in peace, that you may be faithful servants of Christ. Amen. Before you take off, just in case anyone here doesn't happen to know who you are, look out at them and tell them who you are and what you do.
I'm Chris.
What do you do?
In life or on council?
On council.
Oh, I guess I think I got elected president because I wasn't there.
I'm Paul Thompson, and I'm the vice president.
I'm Dean Knauer. I'm the secretary.
I'm Michelle Lofgren, and I don't have an office.
But she does everything. after a while.
I'm Dean Bonham.
All right. So thank you so much for your willingness to serve and continue serving this congregation. So one more round of applause. Now, I was asked, will you only bring up those newly elected? I said, no, let's bring everybody up, because we need an opportunity to see the members of our council and to acknowledge that just as they have stated that they will lead us, we need to accept their leadership, and we need to hold them in our prayers. And let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting in God's promise to reconcile all things, let us pray for the Church, the well-being of creation, and a world in need.
God, our truth, the ark of your Church has room for many expressions of faith. We give thanks for voices that challenge and awaken your people. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, our Maker, you remember your covenant with the earth and its inhabitants. Rescue communities and creatures hurting from natural disasters. Preserve species and habitats endangered by human carelessness and disregard. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, our light, you know our weakness. Free all who govern from the temptations of power. Sustain all who work for human rights in every nation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, our help, you care for your beloved children. Comfort all who are grieving, ill, afraid, in pain, or in despair, especially those on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Feed hungry people living in food deserts. Protect any at risk from exploitation and abuse. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, our home, you gather your people. Grant us health and safety as we assemble. Keep us mindful of any who are homebound, hospitalized, convalescing, or traveling. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, our hope, you promise eternal life to your beloved children. We remember with gratitude those who have lived and died in faith, especially those that we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Grant that we may also dwell with you in everlasting peace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Accompany us on our journey, God of grace, and receive the prayers of our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. And we thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings.
Let us pray.
Jesus, you are the bread of life
and the host of this meal. Bless these gifts that we have gathered, that all people may know your goodness. Feed us not only with this holy food, but with the comfort of your justice and peace. We pray this in your name. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should in all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal Feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism we may come into the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Food for the journey and a feast for our hungry hearts. God, receive this blessing. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join together in our sending hymn, number 545. Lord, dismiss us with your blessing.